ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद्भागवतम् कैंटो 3 चैप्टर 33 टेक्स्ट 6 ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
Yannamadheya Shravananu Kirtanad Yat Prahvanad Yat Smaranad Api Kvachit Shvado Pisadya Savanaya Kalpate Kutaf punaste bhagavan nudarshanat Yannamadheya shravananu kirtanat Yat prahvanad yat smaranad api kvachit Shvado pisadya savanaya kalpate Kuta punaste bhagavan nudarshanat
Translation. To say nothing of the spiritual advancement of persons who see the Supreme Person face to face. Even a person born in a family of dog eaters immediately becomes eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices if he once utters the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or chants about him. Hears about his pastimes, offers him obeisances, or even remembers him. Purport. Herein the spiritual potency of chanting, hearing, or remembering the holy name of the Supreme Lord is greatly stressed. Rupa Goswami has discussed the sequence of sinful activities of the conditioned soul, and he has established in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that those who engage in devotional service become freed from the reactions of all sinful activities. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. The Lord says that He takes charge of one who surrenders unto Him, and He makes him immune to all reactions to sinful activities. If by chanting the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead one becomes so swiftly cleared of all reactions to sinful activities, then what is to be said of those persons who see him face to face? Another consideration here is that persons who are purified by the process of chanting and hearing become immediately eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices. Generally, only a person who is born in a family of brahmanas, who has been reformed by the 10 kinds of purificatory processes, and who is learned in Vedic literature, is allowed to perform the Vedic sacrifices. But here the word sadhyaha immediately is used, and Sridhar Swami also remarks that one can immediately become eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices. A person born in a family of the low caste, which is accustomed to eat dogs, is so positioned due to his past sinful activities. But by chanting or hearing once in pureness or in an offenseless manner, he is immediately relieved of the sinful reaction. Not only is he relieved of the sinful reaction, but he immediately achieves the result of all purificatory processes. Taking birth in the family of a brahmana is certainly due to pious activities in one's past life. But still a child upon initiation into acceptance of a sacred thread and many other reformatory... But still a child who is born in a family of brahmanas, a family of a brahmana depends for his further reformation upon initiation into acceptance of a sacred thread and many other reformatory processes. But a person who chants the holy name of the Lord, even if born in a family of chandalas, dog eaters, does not need reformation. Simply by chanting Hare Krishna, he immediately becomes purified and becomes as good as the most learned brahmana. Sridhar Swami especially remarks in this connection,
Anena puja dvang lakshate.
Some caste brahmanas remark that by chanting Hare Krishna, purification begins. Of course, that depends on the individual process of chanting. But this remark of Sridhar Swami's is completely applicable if one chants the holy name of the Lord without offense. For he immediately becomes more than a brahmana. As Sridhar Swami says, pujyatvam, he immediately becomes as respectable as a most learned brahmana and can be allowed to perform Vedic sacrifices. If simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord one becomes sanctified instantly, then what can be said of those persons who see the Supreme Lord face to face and who understand the descent of the Lord as Devahuti understands Kapila Deva? Usually initiation depends on the bona fide spiritual master who directs the disciple. If he sees that a disciple has become competent and purified by the process of chanting, he offers the sacred thread to the disciple just so that he will be recognized as 100% equal with a brahmana. This is also confirmed in the Hari Bhakti Vilas by Sri Sanatan Goswami. As a base metal like bell metal can be changed into gold by a chemical process, any person can similarly be changed into a brahmana by Diksha Vidhan, the initiation process. Does anyone know the verse? Yata kanshinatan yati
kamsyam rasa vidhanatah tata diksha vidhanena dvijattam jayate
nah. It is sometimes remarked that by the chanting process one begins to purify himself and can take birth in his next life in a brahmana family and then be reformed. But at this present moment, even those who are born in the best brahmana families are not reformed, nor is there any certainty that they are actually born of brahmana fathers. Formerly the Garbhadhan reformatory system was prevalent, but at the present moment there is no such Garbhadhan or seed-giving ceremony. Under these circumstances, no one knows if a man is factually born of a brahmana father. Whether one has acquired the qualification of a brahmana depends on the judgment of the bona fide spiritual master. He bestows upon the disciple the position of a brahmana by his own judgment. When one is accepted as a brahmana in the sacred thread ceremony under the Pancharatrik system, then he is dvija, twice born. That is confirmed by Sanatana Goswami, dvija vam jayate. By the process of initiation by the spiritual master, a person is accepted as a brahmana in his purified state of chanting the holy name of the Lord. He then makes further progress to become a qualified Vaishnav, which means that the brahminical qualification is already acquired. So this is just one of the many, many verses in Bhagavatam that upholds the principle that bhakti is not dependent upon high birth, previous purity, or any such material qualification. Somehow or other, even if one is in the lowest position, in other words, whatever situation one may be in, if one chants the holy name, then he comes to the highest level of purity. The next verse after this, the verse we read today, is a ho batashva pacha togari, and Devahuti continues her glorification of the holy name of Krishna as being so purifying. Now the holy name, it's not that you have to go through many processes and many lifetimes to become eligible to perform bhakti. Everyone, everywhere, any situation can perform bhakti. You're all comfortable with English? We have Telugu translation also.
Telugu anuvadam unda kada meeru kavalante akade nachu artham avutundi English.
They're okay. Telugu anuvadam is just there. Okay, so continuing from reading that purport, that's really a very long purport, isn't it? We had an
avakasham. We had a break in that in the middle, but it's reading, I can't even find where it is now. The verse we read yesterday. Anyway, continue reading from that Chatushloki verse. Anvyadvyati rekabhyam yat. What is it? Yat sarvatra sarvada. Etavane eva lokesmin. Tatvijjnyasunatmana. Anvyadvyati rekabhyam yatra sarvatra sarvada. Yat syat sarvatra sarvada. So continuing the purport. This is only part of the purport. It's a very long purport. But actually any verse in the Bhagavatam, you could have a purport as long as a book. So continuing. In the Narasimha Purana it is said that as the hellish inhabitants began to chant the holy name of the Lord, they began to be elevated from hell towards heaven. So why not go to hell and preach the people to chant and then they can go to heaven? Well, we're already doing that. The whole world at the present time is just like hell, but people don't agree. Once in London, after giving a Bhagavad Gita class, Srila Prabhupada took questions and one of the devotees asked, "Is Bhagavad Gita spoken in hell?" And Prabhupada said, "Yes, I'm speaking Bhagavad Gita here." He equated London with hell. Continuing the purport, Durvasa Muni has also supported this view. Mujyeta yanamyutite narakopi. Simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, the inhabitants of hell became released from their hellish persecution. But they have to agree to chant, that's the point. We're chanting in this situation, but we're trying to induce others to chant also, but they have to agree to chant. So bhakti is independent, but the jiva is also independent to some extent. So the mercy is given freely, but the jiva has to be prepared to take it also. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur gave the example that someone may be fallen in a well and is crying out, "Help, help, help." Someone comes and sees the situation and lets down a long rope so the person can be pulled up. And he's still going, "Help, help." He said, "Well, grab the rope." He said, "No, no, you have to save me." So he has to make some effort. He has to hold the rope and keep on holding as he's pulled up. If you don't want to hold the rope, then you can't get pulled up. So, the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam as given by Shukadev Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit is Etanirvidyamananam itchattam akuto bhayam yoginam nirpanirnitam harernam anukirtanam. O King, it is finally decided that everyone, namely those in the renounced order of life, the mystics, and the enjoyers of fruitive work, should chant the holy name of the Lord fearlessly to achieve the desired success in their pursuits. Similarly, as indicated indirectly in various places in revealed scriptures, 1. Even though one is well versed in all the Vedas and scriptures, if one is not a devotee of the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, he is considered to be the lowest of mankind. 2. In the Garuda Purana, Brihannaradiya Purana, and Padma Purana, the same is repeated. What is the use of Vedic knowledge and penances for one who is devoid of devotional service to the Lord? 3. What is the comparison of thousands of Prajapatis to one devotee of the Lord? 4. Shukadev Goswami said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 4, Text 17, we already read this out in this session, or, well, in a previous sitting of this discussion. I'll read the verse again. Tapasvino dana para yashasvino manasvino mantravidah sumangalaha shemangna vindanti vinayat arpanam tasmai subhadra shravase namo namaha. So Shukadeva Goswami said that neither the ascetic, nor one who is greatly munificent, nor one who is famous, nor the great philosopher, nor the great occultist, nor anyone else can achieve the desired result without being engaged in the service of the Lord. So that's tapasvi, dhanapara, that is the ascetic, one who is greatly charitable, yashashvi, one who is famous, manasvi, great philosopher, mantravidaha, Prabhupada translates this as a great occultist, one who is knowledgeable of mantras. That would mean not just he learns the mantras, but he knows how to use them, their practical use in various situations. The mantra, in many cases, simply chanting the mantra is not sufficient. There has to be a proper time, place. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says there's no consideration of time or place in chanting the Hari, in chanting the names of the Lord. For most mantras, there is consideration of time and place and persons present. There are so many things, and one has to know the svaras for chanting the mantra, the intonation, and so on. So such a person is called mantravit. Sumangalaha. Okay, let's go. Okay, number five. Even if a place is more glorious than heaven, if there is no glorification of the Lord or of Vaikuntha or his pure devotee, it should at once be quitted. 6. The pure devotee refuses to accept all the five different types of liberation in order to be engaged in the service of the Lord. The final conclusion, therefore, is that the glories of the Lord must be always and everywhere proclaimed. One should hear about his glories, one should chant about his glories, and one should remember his glories, because that is the highest perfectional stage of life. As far as fruitive work is concerned, it is limited to an enjoyable body. As far as yoga is concerned, it is limited to the acquirement of mystic power. As far as empiric philosophy is concerned, it is limited to the attainment of transcendental knowledge. And as far as transcendental knowledge is concerned, it is limited to attainment of salvation. Bhakti, its superiority to karma, jnana, and yoga is being pointed out. That these processes, they are limited in their application. Whereas bhakti takes us to the unlimited world, unlimited bliss. Even if they are adopted, there is every chance of discrepancies in discharging the particular type of functions. If you do something wrong, it doesn't work. There are several examples of this in Shastra. There's well known Twashta wanted a son from the sacred, wanted to produce a demon who would kill Indra, but due to some mistake in the intonation, it came out that he produced a demon who would be killed by Indra. Just a little mistake in the intonation of the mantra. So if there's a discrepancy, it doesn't work. But adoption of the transcendental devotional service of the Lord has no limit, nor is there fear of falling down. There's no limit. The discrepancies, well, that doesn't mean that one shouldn't try to follow the rules and regulations, but at the same time, devotional service is not dependent on the rules and regulations. There are rules and regulations of bhakti, but most important is the attitude with which it's performed. Now,
If one has the proper attitude, then one will try to follow the rules and regulations. But due to some mistake or inability, if one is unable to follow some rule, then that is not an impediment in bhakti. Now that doesn't mean that, well, then I'll eat meat. It doesn't mean that then I won't turn off my cell phone so that it sounds in the class. Please turn off your cell phones. I have a solution to the cell phone problem. Don't have a cell phone. Then your life will be much more peaceful. Of course, it has its uses also. In the modern age, we become caught in this modern society by all these necessities of modern life without which you can't function properly. They're all traps to bring us in, to trap us in their economic system. So, anyway, with bhakti, there's no fear of falling down. That means you can fall down, but Krishna will help us. It doesn't mean we shouldn't be afraid of falling down. We should be afraid of falling. But at the same time, we should know that it's the fall down of a devotee. All that Prabhupada states in every line, there's so much shastric evidence to back it up. If we gave a shloka for every line that Prabhupada gave, then each purport would expand more and more and more. Navayjano jatu katanchana vrachen makunda sevyanyava danga sangsrita. Even if a devotee of Krishna falls, he doesn't fall in the same way. This is also from Bhagavatam. He doesn't fall in the same way that a materialist does. He's always protected by Krishna. And Prabhupada elaborates on this very pleasingly, you can say, in the purport to that verse. What's the rest of that verse? Navai jano jatu katanchana vrajem makunda sevyanyava danga sangsritim. It's very, very beautiful and inspiring. Navai jano jatu. Shana vrajain. Mukunda sevyanyavad. Smaran smakan mukunda angri. Upaguhanang puna. Vihatamichenna. Rasograna janaha. What's the translation Prabhupada gives?
My dear Vyasa.
My dear Vyasa, is Narad speaking to Vyasa.
Even though a devotee
of Lord Krishna Mukunda falls,
sometimes falls down,
somehow or other.
He certainly doesn't undergo material existence
like the fruitive workers.
Because a person who has once
relished the taste of the nectar of the lotus feet of Mukunda
can do nothing but remember
that ecstasy again and again. And Srila Prabhupada confirms in the purport that even if someone falls down from the position of devotional service, and he might seem to be just like a complete karmi, but he's not. His position has changed. So we don't want to take that as an excuse for falling down. But at the same time, we should know that once caught in the magnetism of Krishna, the magnetic field, we're going to be pulled in. But if we think, oh, then I'll fall down, what does it matter? Then actually we become offensive, then we cut ourselves off from the mercy. If someone falls down somehow or other, but if one falls down willingly, thinking that, well, anyway, what does it matter? Krishna will look after me. That becomes an offensive attitude. And offenses block bhakti. So the process automatically reaches the final stage by the grace of the Lord. In the preliminary stage of devotional service, there is an apparent requisite for knowledge, but in the higher stage, there is no necessity of such knowledge. Vasudevi bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojataha
Janyatyashu vairagyam jnanam chayada haitukam. Knowledge in bhakti should be cultivated. Bhaktya shuta grihitaya. Yachtradadhana munayo jnana vairagya yuktaya. Pashanti atmani chatmanam bhaktya shuta grihitaya. Srila Prabhupada gives an extensive purport to this and repeats it in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, that bhakti should be discharged with full knowledge and renunciation. But prior to that, it's already stated that if one performs bhakti, that knowledge and renunciation automatically manifest because they're included in that. So in the cultivation of bhakti, renunciation in the sense of not doing anything for one's own sense pleasure, doing everything for Krishna's pleasure. That only accepting anything, any sensual object, if it can be engaged in Krishna's service. What is that? Krishna Pritye Bhoga Tyag. One should accept things or reject things on the basis of whether Krishna wants us to or not, for the sake of love of Krishna. And knowledge, one should cultivate knowledge of devotional service. But in the higher stage, there's no necessity of knowledge. One simply loves Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada concludes, or rather I'm concluding this section of this purport, the best and guaranteed path of progress is therefore engagement in bhakti yoga, pure devotional service. Regarding engagement in devotional service being the best and guaranteed path of progress, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu states in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's recorded, Krishna bhakti hoy abhideya pradhan. Bhakti mukha niriko karma yoga gyan. So devotional service to Krishna is the chief function of the living entity. It's the chief sadhana. And karma, yoga and jnana, usually they're put in the order karma, jnana, yoga, but in this verse it's karma, yoga, jnana, so it fits the rhyme. Krishna bhakti hoy abhideya pradhan bhakti. Mukha niriko karma yoga gyan. So they are literally, they look at the face of bhakti. the meaning is that they are dependent upon bhakti. That even for success in karma, jnana or yoga, even in the kind of success, that means karma siddhi, jnana siddhi, yoga siddhi, even to attain that, one must be favored by Krishna for anything. Even to become a big demon, you have to be favored by Krishna. You can't do anything without Krishna's anumanta. He allows it. It's not exactly that he favors you, but if you, that's via the external energy, because everything goes on under his direction. Maya dhakshena prakriti suyate sacharajaram hetu nanena kaunteya jagat viparivartate. So Krishna doesn't want anyone to be a demon, and for that matter he doesn't even want them to be a karmi, jnani or yogi. But he allows. So even to attain success in any other system, one, if there's an admixture of bhakti, that will help the person to achieve that success. When he realized, that's why in the Vedic process, for karma, jnana and yoga, whatever one's doing, one has to have a guru. With the idea that the ability to do what I'm doing or to learn what I'm doing, it comes, there's mercy coming down. It's not just by my own efforts, but we require the mercy coming down. Even the Mayavadis, they accept a guru, but then they think that, well, now I became as good as my guru because I became self-realized. And then Guru Maravidya, I learned everything from the Guru, kick him out, kill him. Don't need him anymore. The idea of God also, in Bhagawan, I don't need Bhagawan anymore, I became Bhagawan. So they have a perverted understanding of this. But, and such perverted understanding is so offensive that they're not going to get any, they're not going to achieve the perfection of liberation. This will be explained, if Krishna allows me, I'll get through to this. Vishnu Chagwar Thakur explains about different kinds of impersonalists. It's in the notes to be read. So, continuing from this part of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Eishab Shadana Ati Tuchabal Krishna Bhakti Bina Taha Dite Nare Fal. So you can follow that. Eishab Shadana, all these sadhanas, that means karma, jnana and yoga, Ati Tuchabal. So you can all understand. Krishna Bhakti Bina Taha Dite Nare Fal. Without Krishna Bhakti, all these different kinds of sadhanas which have very little power, they cannot give any result, or they cannot give the desired result. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport to this verse from the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions to Sanatana Goswami, he writes, in the Vedic scriptures, stress is sometimes given to fruitive activities, speculative knowledge, and the mystic yoga system. Although people are inclined to practice these processes, they cannot attain the desired result without being touched by Krishna Bhakti devotional service. In other words, the real desired result is to invoke dormant love for Krishna. So various processes are given in the Vedas because people have different inclinations. But for it to be successful, even in these lower processes, there has to be a touch of bhakti because they're very weak by themselves. Continuing this quotation from this purport, Srimad Bhagavatam states, Savai pung sangparo dharmo yato bhaktirat hokshaje ahaitukya pratihataya yatma supersedati. The supreme occupation, dharma for all humanity, is that by which men can attain to loving devotion, devotional service under the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. So this could include karma, jnana and yoga if by following those processes one comes to ahaituki bhakti. One performs karma, jnana and yoga for some personal desire, but if there's a touch of bhakti, and then that karma, jnana and yoga becomes the means by which one starts to take up bhakti yoga, then that can be included in this dharma. Karma, jnana, Srila Prabhupada continuing, karma, jnana and yoga cannot actually awaken love of Godhead. No. One has to take to the Lord's devotional service. And the more one is inclined to devotional service, the more he loses interest in other so-called achievements. The great example of that is, there's so many examples. Anyone? Great example is Dhruv Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada. Swamin kritato smi varangdaya che. I'm satisfied seeing you, after he saw Narayana. He was so ambitious materially, but once he saw Narayana, he said, now I'm satisfied, I don't want any boon. Dhruv Maharaj went to practice mystic yoga to see the Lord personally, face to face. But when he developed an interest in devotional service, he saw that he was not being benefited by karma, jnana and yoga. So that's the end of that purport. And continuing this from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, when it's just been stated, Eishab Shadana Ati Tuchabal. The Bhagavatam statement to support this comes next. We'll find in Chaitanya Charitamrita in the section, especially the sections of philosophical teachings like this one. This is being extracted from, quoted from, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings to Sanatana Goswami. Some statement will be made in Bengali, and then there'll come the Sanskrit verse or verses to back up that statement. So we get practically the same thing twice or more. So the Bhagavatam statement that without what is that? Bhakti yoga bine taha nare dite fal. So that these other sadhanas, they don't have strength to give the desired result without bhakti. Krishna bhakti bina taha nare dite fal. So that the verse is given from first canto again, Narad speaking to Vyas, Naishkarmyam apyachuta bhava varjitam nashobate gyanam alang niranjanam kutaf puna shashvad abhadram ishvare na charpitam karma yadapya karanam. The translation that Srila Prabhupada gives here, it's a little different to the one he gives in the Bhagavatam, first canto. When pure knowledge is beyond all material affinity, it's different, means differently worded, but it's the same thing. When pure knowledge is beyond all material affinity, but is not dedicated to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, it does not appear very beautiful, although it is knowledge without a material tinge. So even if, the point here is that even if one gets knowledge on the Jnana Marg, to the extent that one gets beyond the material modes, still, it's not nashobhate. It doesn't look very good. It's not very nice. If it doesn't have a touch of achuta bhava means feelings for Krishna, what then? Kuta. You will find this often. Kuta. Kutaha. It often introduces in Sanskrit a rhetorical question. What then? What then is the use of fruitive activities which are naturally painful from the beginning and transient by nature? So Srila Prabhupada's, from the word abhadram, he's got this painful from the beginning. Kutapana shashvat abhadram isra. If they're not utilized for this devotional service of the Lord, how can they be very attractive? So in other words, if one achieves the perfection of jnana by becoming free from material affinity and liberated from this world, but doesn't have devotion to Krishna, not very nice. Not really. But what to speak of fruitive activities which are on a much lower level? So, continuing the Bengali of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Keval Jnana Mukti Dite Nare Bhakti Bine Krishnon Mukhe Shei Mukti Hoi Bina Jnane. With Jnana alone, one cannot attain bhakti. With jnana alone, one can get mukti, but one cannot get bhakti. But if one has bhakti, he can get mukti without jnana, without following the process of jnana. You see the difference? How much better is the process of bhakti? How much more powerful, actually? It may seem that the process of bhakti is less powerful, because those who follow the path of jnana, generally they're very, if you're going to be a real Mayavadi, you have to be very strict, very self-controlled, very learned. Whereas in bhakti, you may be singing and dancing and taking lots of prasadam. So it doesn't look to be on such a high level. But it's actually, because it's yukta ityuchate yogi, because it's actually the yoga that links one with Krishna, So it's actually on the highest level. So the translation Srila Prabhupada gives of this verse: speculative knowledge alone without devotional service is not able to give liberation. On the other hand, even without knowledge one can attain liberation if one engages in the Lord's devotional service. Purport. One cannot attain liberation simply by speculative knowledge. That means the jnana, the jnana process. But the people who do jnana, they do so with the idea that by doing so I'll get liberation. But they don't get it. So, Prabhupada continues, even though one may be able to distinguish between Brahman and matter, niti niti, one's liberation will be hampered if one is misled into thinking that the living entity is as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Indeed, one falls down again onto the material platform because considering oneself the Supreme Person, the Supreme Absolute Truth, is offensive. When such a person comes in contact with a pure devotee, he can actually become liberated from material bondage and engage in the Lord's service. A prayer by Bilva Mangal Thakur is relevant here. This was often quoted by Srila Prabhupada. Bhaktis Twais, and by all the Gauriya Acharyas. Bhaktis Twais Tiratara Bhagavan Yadi Syad Daivena Nah Palati Divya Kishora Murtihi Mukti Swayang Mukutanjali Mukulitanjali Sevate Sman Dharmartha Kamagataya Samaya Pratikshaha. O my Lord, if one engages in your pure devotional service with determination, you become visible in your original, transcendental, youthful form as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As far as liberation is concerned, she stands before the devotee with folded hands waiting to render service. People are trying so hard to get mukti, but one becomes a pure devotee and Mukti Devi comes and says, yes, can I serve you? Would you like to be liberated? Nah. Religion, economic development, dharmartha, karma, and sense gratification are all automatically attained without separate endeavor. Someone hearing this might think, oh, you can get sense gratification without separate endeavor. Okay, let's do it. Let's do bhakti and I'll get sense gratification. It is possible to do bhakti like that. I don't even know if he's alive now, but there was one devotee from Madras. And he was actually initiated in the Gauriya Math there, but he lived in ISKCON temples for years and years and years. Last time I saw him in Puri some years ago. And he would just he spoke perfect English, which in those days wasn't so common, talking about 40 years ago. And he would do all humble services, completely reliable. You could give him a lakh of rupees, he'd deposit it in the bank, lived very simply, very humbly. Didn't want any... He took a little prasadam, not to excess. But he was quite open. He said, my aim is to go to Swarga. That's what I want. I found out that by serving the Vaishnavas you can get anything. I want to go to Swarga. So I'll do that all my life and I'll go to Swarga. He never changed. Never changed his idea. So like I say, last time I saw him in Puri, so maybe he'll leave the world from there and go to Vaikuntha. He's going past Swarga. Hey, stop, I want to get off. There is no bus stop here. It doesn't stop here. It's the Vaikuntha Express. So continuing this purport, these verses, they're quoted in this regard, they're quoted again and again. Shreya Shriting Bhaktim Udasya Te Vibho. There are so many. That one can perform. Anyway, I'll get back to this later, but there's... one can think that it's most auspicious to try to get liberation and perform activities in that regard. But it's not. It's like beating husked rice, the husks of, it's like beating the husks of rice that the rice grain has already come out. The effort is there, but there's no tangible result. It's Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam. So one, if one is udas, one is indifferent to bhakti and undertakes the process of trying to become free from this world, it's just like that. You just, you have something like the right idea, but it's at the same time it's so wrong that it's laughable. If someone is beating rice husks, which have all the grains already been taken out of them, you may say he's got something like the right idea, but at the same time he misunderstands it so badly that it's just laughable. So if someone's trying for liberation but they're not interested in bhakti, it's just like that. Devi esha gunamai mama maya durate ya mameva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. Maya is very difficult to overcome, but if one surrenders to me, one can cross beyond it. It's right there in the Gita. All the Mayavadis know it, but they somehow what do they do? They rationalize Krishna away in their minds. It could be so easy for them. They're trying to get free from Maya. It could be so easy if they just accept, oh, Krishna can deliver me. But they have this deep-seated sense of envy of Krishna and thinking, well, I'll do it by myself, I don't need anyone else's help. Again, that's why one should have a guru, even if one is able to perform austerities and so many, very intelligent. Because one's service has to be, one has to accept that sense of subordination. The guru should direct one to Krishna, not tell him that you also can become God, and the whole thing gets spoiled. So it's very easy if we just take the message of Bhagavad Gita as it is, that we are, and even without understanding the very deep philosophy, it's not very difficult to understand that we are dependent beings. We're not independent. We didn't choose where we were born, what kind of body we would have. If we chose, then America would be full up and India would be empty. People would choose, where you want to be born? America. Why would they be born in India? We find that so many people are taking visas to go to America. We don't find so many Americans taking visas to come to India. So we don't choose where we're born, we don't choose what family, how wealthy we are, otherwise everyone would be born wealthy. We don't choose to get sick, we don't choose to have problems. It's all forced upon us. We're not independent. We're dependent upon a higher power. So, if we accept that and place ourselves under the shelter of that higher power who presents himself in Bhagavad Gita as Krishna, that it's the higher power is the supreme powerful Krishna, then he gives us shelter. Very simple. Of course, Krishna's not obliged to give us that mercy, but generally he does. But if one thinks that by my own intelligence, not understanding that intelligence is anyway given by Krishna, or by my own willpower, understanding that our mental proclivities, they're also under the three modes of nature from a previous life, I've inherited this situation. So if we understand we're dependent on Krishna and surrender to Him, then He'll deliver us. But if we think, well, see, I'm a better candidate for bhakti than someone else because I'm born in a high family, and or I'm born in a family of devotees, therefore I'm better. Or I followed all the rules and regulations very well, so certainly Krishna is obliged to deliver me. If one thinks like that, then Krishna may withhold His mercy. He's not obliged. So the whole point is that bhakti is a haituki. Our own bhakti should be a haituki. That means without thinking, what will I get? My own benefit. I'll become very prominent. I'll get lots of money. This, that, and the other. If we have no material desire or no desire for liberation, we simply serve Krishna for the sake of serving Krishna. That's called a haituki bhakti. But bhakti, by her own nature, is also a haituki. She's not a cause. There's no material cause for bhakti, and she may bestow her mercy anywhere and everywhere. So that is the meaning of causeless mercy. A great example is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, highly learned, highly pious, resident of a holy place, highly respected, but he had the Supreme Lord in his own home and he couldn't recognize Him, even though he knew from Shastra all the symptoms of the Supreme Lord, but he couldn't recognize Him. Even his brother-in-law, Gopinatha Acharya, gave all arguments from Shastra as to why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should be accepted as the Supreme Lord, and Sarvabhauma couldn't accept it. So Gopinath said to him that, okay, well, you can't accept it because you didn't get the mercy of the Lord. When you get the mercy, then you'll understand. And he quoted from Bhagavatam, Athapite deva padambuja dvayam prasadale shanu grahito eva hi janati tatvang bhagavangs mahim no nachanya ekopi chirang vichinvan. If one can get even a little bit of the Lord's mercy, then one can understand Him. Otherwise, well, let's read the translation. My Lord, if one is favored by even a slight trace of the mercy of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. But those who speculate to understand the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are unable to know you, even though they continue to study the Vedas for many years. And that verse might have been written just for Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who later, he didn't recognize, then eventually he recognized Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Lord. I'll finish there for now. Anything? No? Alright then. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.